Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Burt Show.
Now, the internet really is your permanent record for what you post. Your drafts might be a good look at what you used to be and what you are not now.
Or just not posting things that you didn't want the public to see. And I really would love for somebody to explain to me the psychology of why women love to record ourselves while we're sobbing. Why do we look in the mirror? Why do we feel the need to turn on the camera? Because I had a couple of videos from years back that I stumbled across as I was binging all of my drafts that I was like, what was I even crying about?
Yeah, let's pause here for just 1 second and really try to figure this out here. Because Kristen mentioned this years and years and years ago, which was new to me, the cry day, which I kind of get. Watching sad things, you got it all pent up, you kind of feel it, you feel a little dark, so you want something just to push you over the edge. The part of it I don't get is recording yourself, or as Kristen used to say, staring at herself in the mirror and enjoying watching the tears flow down her face.
It was one thing to sense the sadness and to feel the sadness. It's another thing to see the sadness. And seeing it made me even more sad. So it made the cry that much harder. And then, like I said, afterwards, I would let the tears dry to my face so my face would get tight and I could still feel like the trails of sadness on my face.
I'm 1,000% sure if I looked at myself crying, I would start dying laughing.
Me too. I would just see my dad going, what are you doing? Right? It would be a whole thing. But the recording of it to play it over and over and over again, I don't get.
And I don't get it either. I don't understand the psychology, yet I've done it. But there's something poetic about it. There's something poetic and sad and beautiful about witnessing your humanity come out onto your face. And I was looking at all my drafts for some reason. I was on my TikTok and I was like, I wonder what I was doing a couple of years ago. And I'm looking at all the dumb renegade dance videos I did during COVID and all the recipes I thought I would post when I wanted to be a cooking TikTok influencer and the outfits of the days that I deleted because they didn't get enough likes. And then I came across this video from, I think it was May 2022. And it's this video of me kind of making fun of myself, saying something along the lines of like, my life is falling apart, but at least I have a Starbucks pumpkin loaf, in a cold brew to snack on. And I was like, what was I even sad about? Like, why did I feel like my life was falling apart? And then I saw an archive video that I posted literally the next day. Like, this was like a Tuesday, and then the next day I posted a video on a Wednesday. And this is the video that I consider the thing that changed my life. I posted a video where I was like pitching my podcast as like an advertisement, like, oh my God, like listen to this episode. It's so crazy. It's so wild. It's so fun. And what's really crazy about that video is it didn't go off and go viral immediately. It went viral like a week later after I'd done some meditation and was talking to God at the time. And then like an hour later, I was on everybody's For You page talking about my podcast. And that took me from getting like a couple hundred downloads to like monetizing it. I just thought it was so funny and just so classic 20s to feel like one day your life is falling apart. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what direction to take. You know you should take step forwards, but you don't take a step forward, but you don't know what direction to take it into. And then literally, if you just stick it out another week or two.
Or for you, 24 hours.
For me, well, it took then another week, but I posted it, literally 24 hours. You have no idea what opportunities or what things are waiting for you around the corner if you can just make it through the next 24 hours or the next week or the next 2 weeks, or I don't know, maybe it's the next year. But it was a really important piece of perspective to go, it's funny how I felt like that one day, and little did I know how much my life would change within 7 days.
It's really such great advice here, because when you're stuck in that kind of stress, you can't see, like, with every thunderstorm, the clouds always end and there's always sunlight at the end of the storm, right? But when you're in it, you feel like it's never going to stop raining, right? And it's the same thing with these stressful periods of our life. When you're in it, you feel like it's never going to end. But if you could just take a step back, it's going to pass.
It's like your favorite saying from Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
When life is bad, this too shall pass. When life is good, this too shall pass.
Right?
So moral of the story, go get yourself a pumpkin loaf and post that TikTok. Get it out of the drafts.
The Bert Show.
So Abby was very honest the last couple of days, saying she really had her face in humble pie during Bert's Big Adventure.
Nom, 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 nom,
nom. Mom, 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 mom. All the things. Just nom, 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 nom. She really wanted to hang out with Bert's Big Adventure kids, but she says that she's kind of uncomfortable around kids. Doesn't really know how to act around kids, right?
I mean, I know how to act around kids. I think maybe it just didn't hit well this time. I mean, I don't know if I was just more socially awkward this year, but I was swinging and I was missing a lot.
Got rejected by three different kids. All she wanted to do.
Oh, why stop at three? There was more.
Yeah.
You're forgetting about all the incidences I didn't bring up on air.
How many more of those were there?
How many kids were on the trip?
There were 14 kids.
Yep, 14 times more. 14 times.
Everyone hated you.
Well, the ones she mentioned the last couple of days, mm-hmm. where you had a couple on the dance floor and we were doing dance party, just wanted to like dance with them. They're like, no, thanks.
I want to see that photo, by the way. The photo that Amanda has of her rejecting me. That's classic.
And then there were a couple of times where you ask kids, hey, will you go on a ride with me? And then you were kind of desperate. So you're like, I'm really nervous, trying to play on there, maybe trying to protect you. I'm really nervous to go on the rides. Will you go with me? And they're both like, hey, that's your problem.
You're an adult.
This sounds like a you issue.
They didn't want to go on rides with you either. So Kristen is here to try to save the day.
Abby, I am here to make sure we never have this issue ever again. You thrived last year. Let's remember that. Mm-hmm. It was just an off year. So we're just going to make sure that we don't have another off year. I am proud to say this is not from a Google search. This is from a KK brain search.
Okay.
So this is coming from my brain and from my heart. And these are my five tips to get kids to like you, okay? And first things first, we always start with Barbie, and that's gifts.
I was going to say, don't be Abby. Yeah.
No. So the first one is gifts. Now, for instance, for what we were doing, when you meet them, give them a little something. So first thing out the gate in the morning, if you know you're going to go to Magic Kingdom, get them a Magic Kingdom pin for their lanyard to kick off the day for Magic Kingdom. Or if there's a ride you know you're going to want to ride, find the pin for that ride and give it to them and be like, that'll be our mission to get to that ride and ride it together.
Okay.
That's number one.
Man, if you give a kid a gift and they go, nah, I'm straight.
That's you.
That's really rock bottom.
That is true. Or they take the gift and then say no or just leave.
Yeah. All right, next. Keep it positive, baby. So saying I'm scared to go on this ride, will you hold my hand, might put too much pressure on the kids.
Okay.
So here's some self-awareness on my part. I recognize that I am overly sensitive to the fact that kids are not responsible for how adults feel or their emotions. I walked on some eggshells growing up. So that is the responsibility of the adult. So instead, let's do this. You go up to the kid and be like, how cool would it be to ride in the very front of this roller coaster? You want to ride up front with me?
You could take that tack, but I'll be honest with you. And this, I'm not half joking about this. I have found what works for me over the years is saying you don't want to go on the ride.
Yeah.
That you don't like roller coasters and you refuse to go on roller coasters. That's when they double and triple down and say, you're going on this ride with me.
Reverse psychology.
Yeah.
Tell them you don't want to do something, they'll force you to do it
I think it works for you because the kids can genuinely sense your fear.
You got to really believe it. You got to really feel it.
Next we have find their shrine. So funnily enough, this was a lesson I learned from my husband when he was selling windows. No joke, for a little bit, he sold windows. And the company taught their sales staff to find their client's shrine. And that's the thing that means the most to them that they love to talk about. So you find the kid's shrine, and that's what you talk about nonstop.
Huh.
Next, silly for the win. Embrace your silly, goofy side. The younger kids are just sweet little dorks. So fart jokes, booger jokes, you name it. The sillier, the better.
Lowest common denominator, okay. Man. It's a good fart joke.
Yeah, yeah. And then lastly, when all else fails, go to the phone. So download some kid-friendly games and let them play with your phone.
Oh, yeah.
So learning kids' games for toddlers or Lego juniors, whenever I had a lull or whatever, and you just feel like you're struggling, you'd be like, hey, you want to play a game on my phone? And, I mean, immediately they light up. You give them your phone. They play for a little bit, and that works like a charm, like 100% of
the
time.
And if that all fails, you go the Crawford route, and you stick cake up your butt.
I'm not that desperate yet.
The Burt Show.
Two other things that happened on Burt's Big Adventure, both culturally significant, I think. One I thought was really beautiful, and I didn't see it because I was there, but it happened at the piano bar between you, Abby, and Mo, and the suggestion you made for the guys that were performing at the piano bar.
Oh, yeah. So, this all came to be because I was having a conversation with a couple of the BBA staff who were asking me pretty much what is it like to be the only black person in the room all the time. And I was telling them about some of the challenges and frustrations that come along with it. And we happened to be in this bar at the time, and I had used that as like, this is a perfect example of it's not anyone's fault. It's just the circumstance that I find myself in where we're at this bar, we're all hanging out. But I know coming into this space, like, they're probably not going to play one song that I'm familiar with. Like, it's just not going to happen. So I'm watching everybody dance and have such a great time. And I'm sitting there, it's cool, but I would love to hear something that I can relate to, something I can dance to, and I just know it's not going to happen with me. And so at that point, I think a light bulb went off in Abby's head, because as we have these dual piano guys up there playing what they're playing, they were also taking suggestions. So then Abby writes something on a napkin and pulls it to me. You can say what you wrote.
Yeah, so I heard this and I immediately went, ally! because for context, they're playing like Chapel Rome, Pink Pony Club. They played Broadway at some point. They played Rent, you guys. Like, that's how white it was in this place. So I thought, okay, usually at piano bars, they'll have like a suggestion list, or they'll have little slips of paper that you can throw up with some cash, and then they'll play some money for you, or they'll play a song for you. And so I thought, okay, why not guilt these people into playing a song that Mo will be familiar with? So I grab a napkin, I grab a pen, and I write down on the napkin, play literally any song by a black artist. It's February. I wrapped it up. No, you did not. I brought it to the front. Yeah. Oh, no. I got the phone and everything. We can post it on social media. Brought it to the front. I look at the piano player in the eye and I go, here you go.
And he looked at it and said, February, what does it have to do with Valentine's Day?
And then we sit down.
For those that don't know, it's Black History Month.
Black History Month. So we sit back down, and then after the other guy was wrapping up, sure enough, we had a little Outkast playing.
It was like the next song, I started to hear that. I was like, oh, Caroline. And then we all ran to the front and just, I danced the night. I danced for as many songs as they were going to give me, because they gave me a couple. They gave me We Will Survive, and they gave me that one. And it just was a moment of like, thank you, Abby. I sincerely appreciate that.
Like being seen.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, the second one is a little bit more controversial. And it happened when we were walking into one of the parks at Disney World. I'm not exactly sure what the circumstances were, and you guys might know better than why I do, why one of our black families on the trip had half a sandwich bag worth of laundry detergent on them.
So one of the families brought laundry detergent because they do have laundry facilities at the Disney Resort hotels. And if you've ever gone to Disney and you have kids, the amount of clothes you go through, either from sweating or spilling food or the ice cream dripping everywhere, or maybe somebody gets sick and whatever, it's always nice to have that so you can do some laundry. Or a lot of people, if they have downtime, they do all their laundry there. That way they don't have a pile of it when they get home. One of the families had brought some laundry detergent, and this family was like, ooh, can we have some of that? So they got a baggie and they gave them some of their laundry detergent, and they put it in that little Ziploc plastic baggie and gave it to him, and the mom put it in her backpack.
Okay, so as we're walking into Disney World and we're going through security, security goes through the bag and sees this white powdery bag, right? And pulls the family aside and says, we're going to check that bag. I wasn't there to witness this. Were you guys there?
I wasn't there.
You weren't there. Okay, so here's what I heard is that when they were pulling him through security to check the bag, to check the white substance, the family was like, Okay, go ahead. We're telling you that it's laundry detergent, but security wouldn't believe it. So they said, well, why don't you just open it up and smell the bag? And apparently that really alerted, like, the security guy. Were you there, Tommy? You saw this whole thing?
Yeah, I saw the whole
thing.
Okay,
then you explain it. Go ahead.
So mom was in line. She gets stopped. I'm with dad and their kids. And we were like, what's going on? And mom just kind of shrugged her shoulders. She was a ways away. And they had stopped her for the bag. And then they wanted to wait. They weren't sure what it was. And they have to check. And so they were waiting for a deputy to get there. So the cop gets there. And then he can't really do anything. And he can't figure out what it is. And he said, we can have somebody here with some kind of contraption to analyze it. He said, but that's going to take a while. So if you're willing to stay here, we're just like, oh, we just want to go eat and have fun and, you know, do what we need to do. And it was just a situation of, I know they were trying to do their job, but to me, use a little common sense. I mean, you're with a huge group with kids that are obviously, you know,
Not feeling so great.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
A bunch of them are in wheelchairs.
Yes.
Right.
Who is going to try and smuggle in drugs into Disney? First of all, who's going to be stupid enough to walk through a line with a bag of whatever? Evidently, I guess it does happen. There are stupid people in the world. Mm-hmm. But you're obviously with a group. Who's going to do this? Use your common sense.
So as we were talking about this on our sort of staff day, right, the word profiling came up, right? And I heard a lot of people saying, asking the question, was it profiling or was it not? If it was a white family that this happened to, would the security and deputy handle it the same way? I don't have the answer to that. My knee-jerk reaction was, coming from my perspective and my part of life, which is very different than yours, Mo, mm-hmm. I would expect them to go ahead and check my bag and go through the same procedure. But clearly it hit differently with that family and hit differently with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a perfect example of how you, if you're black in a situation like this, you see it very differently than someone would who's not black. Because even in the way that the story was told to me, like when Tommy told the story to me, it was He seemed visibly upset, and I immediately got upset because my first thought was profiling. That was my very first thought. And then it was the same way with the family. But when the story was presented to me from others, it was presented to like as if it was funny, and it wasn't their fault. They weren't trying to be mean. They just that never occurred to them. And it's like you kind of have to laugh it off with them because it's a Disney trip. It's about the kids. It's not about you, and you can't make it about you. But you go through a lot of experiences like that. This is a very similar one where just being black in a situation like that, you really just don't know. You don't know if you're being profiled. You don't know if this would have went the same way if you weren't black. You have no idea. But a lot of the times you'll lean on your experiences because your experiences will tell you that the majority of the times that these things tend to happen, they happen to you because you're the black person that's in this situation. Right. And it's frustrating because you have to eat it. You have to deal with it. Most of the time you can't do anything. And I really felt for dad being in that situation. Of you there for your kids and for your family, and now you have to watch your wife go through this, and there's nothing that you can really do about it, and you feel stuck in that situation. You feel vulnerable, and yeah, it's something that if I'm being honest, I think the majority of black people, if you really wanted to find a reason to be offended or upset, you can almost find one every day.
Yeah, and it's you know, as a white person, it's never a question to me, am I being profiled? We just go through life, and that's never a question.
In the moment, I was thinking, you know, there was a TV show. It's kind of like that TV show, What Would You Do? And they put people in situations and see if people will speak up. I think there was something similar to where I was like, man, I wish this TV show would put this in this situation. You know, where you see a black family coming through and you feel like they're getting profiled and you're wondering if the same thing would happen to a white family. I would love to see a TV show run that test through something like that just to see what would happen.
Well,
like,
I know what your assignment is next, Bert's Big Adventure.
Smuggling a baggie of laundry detergent.
Don't think I didn't think about it.
Hey, Zoe, good morning. You're on the Bert Show. Hi.
Hey, good morning. I'm a white lady in South Carolina, and I would absolutely consider that profiling the story of the family with the laundry detergent.
Yeah.
I know as a white lady, I was going through one and I had some laundry detergent in my bag and I would just start talking and chatting with them. Eventually we'd be laughing and they'd be like, oh, go ahead, go through. Like they would believe me more often than they're going to believe, unfortunately, this black woman that had a bag of white powder substance on her. They're automatically going to assume the worst of that. I just went to the movies down here the other day, forgot I had my gun in my bag, went through, they barely looked in the bag, let me in, and then two, three people later, this black lady and her black daughter came to the movies. They had nothing on them. They had no bags. They were in sweats. The only thing they had on them was a blanket to bring to the movies, which I just talked to the security guard about how I usually have a blanket. We laughed about it and whatnot. He made him unfold the entire blanket, shake it out, and everything before he would let him go in. I had a whole ass gun in my bag.
Yeah, right.
And I
yeah.
Stop.
It really is so hard to take yourself out of your own experience, right? Because you want to draw an opinion based on your own experience. But if you have no education in walking in the footsteps of a Mo or this particular family, your view is very, very skewed.
Yeah, that's why it's usually different if you've ever spent time with black people or if you have black friends. Like, you've seen instances like this enough to where you really know what's really going on. But if you haven't, you'd have no idea because it's just not something that occurs to you in your life.
I want to take this call from Lauren here real quick. Hey, Lauren, we just have a couple of seconds. Go for it.
Sure. So I'm of Eastern European descent, and my dad has really dark features, like very dark black hair and all. And every time he goes to renew his global entry or TSA pre-check, whatever, they end up pulling him aside and making him also go to the airport to redo an interview to make sure that he is not like on a no-fly list or a terrorist or anything, just because he has like dark, dark curly hair, like hair and like, you know, Eastern European features.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think in cases like this, it's just really important to stress that sometimes you just got to listen. Like, you don't really have an opinion because you don't have the experience, and sometimes you just got to listen.
Mo, this will make you feel better. On the way back through TSA, they actually pulled me aside and patted me down, and they even patted my junk, and I didn't even have to pay extra.
I think you stepped into it.
I'm not kidding.
The Burt Show.
Our producer, Messy Mikey here, has already told us before he detests street interviews, like these ones that are happening on campus all the time, drive you nuts.
Yeah, they're fun to watch, but I think I've decided if someone puts a microphone in your face, your best bet is to walk away.
Sure.
Because they have all the control of how it turns out, and usually you're going to look like an idiot.
That is an option, by the way, walking away.
It is.
You don't have to answer anything.
Or you could become a billionaire like the Hawk Tua girl and have your career launched into superstardom.
She's on her way to jail. That's not a good ending to that story. Yeah.
Is this the Bitcoin thing?
Sold that. The rug pull, all that Bitcoin stuff.
The Bitcoin thing is on her, but everything else, I mean, she could have ridden that podcast to the bank.
Ah, no, you can't. No, you can't. That was going to last 3 months. Whatever. Listen, so these street interviews, they're very good. I love watching them, but it's just so hard to get away with being interviewed. So me and my girlfriend were at this bar, and I don't want to say who it is, but it's a local Atlanta celebrity. And he came up, and me and her discovered him one day, thought he was so funny. And so whenever he walked up, she became completely starstruck.
This is an influencer.
Sorta. Yeah, sorta.
Would we know if celebrity is quote unquote these days? Yeah. Would it be somebody that we would know in like a movie or TV show or online?
No. You guys would know him. Most normal people would not know this guy.
Okay.
So I'll tell you guys off air. But so he came up and we just know him from one bizarre thing that he did. Nobody knows about it, but the level of starstruck that she got was way, way blown out of proportion. Like, I don't know if he's ever been approached like this. Like, her glasses fell off her head. She was like, oh my gosh, it's him. And
for some people, it's like if Harry Styles walked up to them.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think he got a kick out of that. He walked away. He came back probably 10 minutes later, this time with a microphone. And my girlfriend, one thing about her, she is as scared as a microphone may as well be a knife. Like, she is so scared of microphones. So he puts it in her face. She asks, can I hear the questions first? He says, no. she's sitting too far away from me for me to be able to hear what's going on. But it seems like it's going good. I just like took a picture of them. It seemed funny. After she got done, though, she was like, yeah, I'm not sure how that went. She couldn't tell how it went. I heard one of her answers, and it was he asked some question about The Rock, and she said, oh, funny story about The Rock. When I was a kid, I always thought that the president was The Rock Obama.
That's a bless your heart moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well, turns out that is gold for what this guy was doing.
What was he doing? What was the subject matter?
So we thought that this was just something in the past. About a week later, she just decides, why not just look up, like maybe see if he posted the clip. He posted the clip, and it is called blank blank interviews dumb drunk girls.
Oh no. She's one of the dumb drunk girls.
She's one of the dumb drunk girls.
Oh no.
Keep in mind, she had two sips of beer at this point.
Oh no. So.
Oh, this is why they say never meet your hero.
Exactly.
I don't know what's worse, being called a dumb drunk girl or a dumb sober girl.
Yeah, I know. It's she should probably say that she was drunk.
Yeah, the key word is dumb here. is there some kind of badge of honor that she loved this guy so much and now she's part of his content?
I don't know. It put a bit of a bad taste in her mouth, but still, the guy's, he's a legend. You can't be mad at this guy. But we actually listened to the interview, and it turns out every question that he was asking was like a complete fake question. Like, how do you feel about us getting rid of cash by 2026? And the Rock question was, how do you feel about The Rock running for mayor of Hollywood?
Oh, so he's just baiting her with made up headlines.
Now, she claimed she knew that he was like that they were fake questions, but she was trying to play along. I guess you can't even play along because you're still getting into trouble. You just sound dumb.
I mean, there's the lesson to be learned right there. A lot of those things that you see, most of them, they are answering a question differently than they are being used in the content.
Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel, I think, is famous for this.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
So
yeah.
Be careful with any street interview.
Absolutely.
Because it's not going to go well.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
The cast of beloved 90s sitcom Boy Meets World, they are feuding decades later.
I did not see this coming from Topanga.
This is the most random news to come out in this week. So this is all having to do with Danielle Fischel and her castmates podcast, Pod Meets World. This is sort of like a rewatch podcast for the Boy Meets World show. And they recently had Maitland Ward on one of their episodes who played Rachel in some of the later seasons of Boy Meets World. A lot of people are like, who was she? I'm like, if you saw her back in the day, like you would recognize her instantly from some of those college years episodes. I'm pretty sure she played like one of the girlfriends or whatever. And so they start out this interview with Danielle Fischel kind of coming out swinging where she asks Maitland, do you hate us? And then Maitland then starts to open up about thinking that Danielle Fischel actually hated her based off of some experiences that she had with her on the set of Girl Meets World, which was the spinoff that came out maybe 10 years ago on Disney Channel. So this clip is about 2 minutes long, which normally I would shorten, but it's so uncomfortable and tense. I want us all to sit through the next 120 seconds.
Maybe a more broad general question for you is, do you hate us?
No, I don't hate you.
Okay.
I think that you hate me because you wouldn't speak to me on when we would go to Girl Meets World and everything. And that was hurtful.
I wouldn't speak to you?
No.
I did talk to you.
No, not really.
I don't feel as though I was not good with you, but I definitely didn't have a relationship with you that was like, oh my gosh, my long lost friend, Maitland.
No, I
was working. It was a very, very difficult set. So you don't listen to the podcast regularly, but your overall opinion of it is that we are negative about Michael and Ben and the show.
Be honest about this. You're trying to go at me now to get the ratings because you know that people will be interested in
Maitland.
I don't want to go with you guys. I just want to remember good times.
Maitland, sorry. I'm not the one who wanted to go for ratings. I'm the one who texted Will to ask for your phone number so that like adults, we could have a conversation off the air. When you said rock the stats, I realized, got it.
This is someone who's seeing an opportunity to, again, use this opportunity to get into the ratings. So this is what you asked for. I wanted to write you a text and say, can we talk about what our feelings are?
Genuous to have to be reminded that you unfriended me from Facebook and that after I wrote you a very heartfelt letter, and you know it was heartfelt.
Yeah, I hadn't read it until I heard about it in whatever year it was, 2022.
Yes, you didn't even care to look at it. So.
Because it was in the graveyard. Okay. We weren't friends on Facebook.
Okay.
We were not friends on Facebook. It didn't come to my message. I hadn't read it until I was aware it existed.
Once you start bringing up the fact that someone unfriended you on Facebook, I feel like you've lost the battle already. Mm. That's what people are saying.
So as I'm listening to this, I do feel, and you know, not knowing the entire history, there's obviously history there. I do feel like Topanga came in hot, though. Like, she was a woman on a mission to take Maitland down. Like, that was the sole purpose of getting her on that podcast.
I felt so, too. Like, if you wanted to have a conversation off the air, shouldn't have that. I feel like that should have happened prior to pressing record. And so that's actually what Maitland is saying in her interviews now following, because this has become such big news. She told TMZ that she really felt like she was led out to slaughter, that she felt like she was being cornered. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I hear these situations, like when there's conflict between two cast members, and it's hard to look at one situation or one fight and decide who's in the right or wrong, because we have no idea each one of their behaviors that they've exhibited over the past like 10 years. Like, I feel like maybe Danielle was so emotional in this interview because maybe there's been such a long history of Maitland being whatever.
And it sounded like, you know, I thought you hated me, but I thought you hated me. And so it's like that classic miscommunication in the very beginning. And so hate breeds hate. And so there you have it. But then I think people also need to remember, too, that you're not going to get along with everybody. And that's okay. As long as you're still respectful and can have a working relationship, you don't have to be BFF. You just have to be able to work together.
Yeah, I just want to put it out here that when I say I want everyone to have adult conversations to end their feuds, this is not what I'm talking about. I just felt like this was not adult conversation whatsoever.
Well, they got what they wanted out of it.
All right, for more stories, head to The Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
I'm going to sound so old here. How much did you guys get for your teeth when you were kids?
Oh, when the tooth fairy came to visit?
Yeah.
No more than a dollar. I know that much.
A buck for you. Okay.
Dollar.
Maybe like $5.
Whoa.
Five.
Inflation.
$5?
Inflation.
A tooth?
Inflation.
I'd have purposely knocked all my teeth out for $5.
Cassie, you've got kids. How much is a tooth fairy throwing around these days?
My kids haven't lost teeth yet.
Okay.
But I got like 50 cents. I think I got a dollar once and was like, ooh, rolling in it. No, I don't think I would give them like $5. I think I'd give them a dollar.
Yeah, mine was 25 cents back in the day. I remember putting that bloody thing in a sandwich bag, putting it underneath my pillow.
Oh, we actually had a tooth fairy pillow.
Of course,
it's this
did.
Little pillow with a little pocket in it, and you put your tooth down in there, and then she came and swooped it and switched it out with some dollar bills, y'all.
Well, yeah, this my tooth under the pillow, raw dog. I ain't putting it in my
All right, Abby. Well, this will not be shocking to you. Then the average tooth is now worth $5 and a penny, average.
Yeah.
Down last year was $5.84 a year ago.
These things are expensive. They're one of a kind.
$5 for a tooth?
My favorite is the person that had saved all their kids' teeth, and it was a grandparent that had the teeth, and made taxidermy animals and stuck the teeth in them of their kids. Oh, my God. It's the most hilarious thing. These beavers with their actual children's teeth stuck in them. It's amazing.
All right. So Bart found himself in a nightmare situation for dads, and you put him right in this place?
No, I did not.
Okay.
It was not me.
He brought this on himself.
Jimmy's teacher was playing a dangerous game the other day, baby. A dangerous game. So the other day was Dad's Day for Jimmy's class. And so this is Donuts with Dad. And this is when all the dads come in and get to eat donuts with the kids and see some of their artwork and just, you know, hang out, whatever. And I saw the pictures, and it's so funny because classic, there's Bart in his sweatshirt, hoodie on, by the way, earbuds in, sitting there eating donuts with Jimmy, right?
This is his look,
man.
He's got a brand.
He definitely has a brand. So there's like, and there's only seven kids in the class, right? So it's a small class, seven kids, seven dads, everybody's there hanging out. And they did these cute little Glad You're My Dad one-sheeters, where they fill in the blank. It's like a Mad Lib for your dad, right? So Jimmy's teacher goes, you know what'll be fun is I'll read these and you guess which one is your child.
Okay.
And Bart goes, they say the damnedest things at this age. Uh-huh. They say some crazy stuff. This, and he could see like the panic over all the dad's faces of like, how well do you know your kid? I'm going to put you on the spot and see if you can do this.
I can only imagine the anxiety going through that room.
You have no, Bart said, my heart started beating fast because you don't want to be the a-hole that says, no, that's my kid. And she's like, no, or she reads it and you don't say it's your kid and it's your kid.
That's embarrassing.
So here we go. Glad you're my dad. And it goes, my dad is so blank. Literally left the first one blank. Didn't even put a word in the first blank. So it just starts out with, my dad is so blank. He is bigger years old. My dad is really good at singing.
Oh.
Okay. Is he?
No.
Does he sing at all?
He does, but he's like, he does goofy singing. Oh. He's like, and it cracks Jimmy up, right? I love to play with him.
Okay. All right. Good answer. Yeah. Good answer. It's like your family fear game. Good answer.
50 points. Yeah, so right. Bart says he's listening to this and up to this point doesn't think it's him, right? His favorite sport is basketball.
Okay.
All right.
And definitely.
Bart, at one point, yes, because we're huge Kentucky fans, yeah. Especially Kentucky basketball. Bart watches the games constantly. He's taught Jimmy to say, go Big Blue. So at this point, he's like, all right, maybe. He loves to eat fish.
Okay.
Does he?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
All right.
So then Bart's like, it's not me. My dad is really smart. He knows how to fix things.
That is that's number one answer.
Yeah.
Contractor.
So dad, he's like, I think my dad is special because he is the best dada.
Well, then he's like, I don't know who he's talking about.
Well, he heard the word dada, and Jimmy doesn't call him daddy or dad. He calls him dada, so he goes like, maybe. And then he goes, I love my dad more than anything, even more than mac and cheese.
Aww. That's a lot of love.
We can't remember the last time Jimmy ate mac and cheese.
Okay.
So then Bart's like, all right, no, it's not him. I think he is a hero because he made me a cardboard house.
Oh. Then he knew. This is me.
Then Bart was like, I am 99% sure. As he's like, he's looking around the room and like sizing up the room. He's like, oh, I know I can make a meaner cardboard house than any of the guys in here. And then it ends with, he is the best dad in the whole world.
Aww.
So this was the very first one the teacher read, right? And Bart's sitting there and he's like, you know how Bart thinks, cardboard house, fix things, but he doesn't eat mac and cheese. I don't like fish. So he's sitting here. And so Bart like sheepishly raises his hand and he goes, it's me. And she's like, yay!
Hip hooray!
Bart's just like, thank God I was the first one to go, and then all the other dads had to sweat it out and figure out whose kid it was.
Yeah, that is a dangerous game to play.
Hey, The Bird Show.
Youngblood, let me give you some advice right here, okay? If you are single and you're trying to keep your hookup percentage high, stay away from women that only date other women. I think that's common sense, right?
That's fair.
Katie, you want to take it from here? Because you're a little frustrated.
I am extremely frustrated. So my girlfriend and I decided it'll be a cute date night if we go out and, you know, go see some live jazz, right?
How are you and your lady doing, by the way?
We're doing great. Fantastic.
I mean, they're going to jazz together.
Doesn't get better than that. And how long have you guys been dating now, officially?
It's going on 6 months.
Ooh.
Okay.
Are you serious? A little bit of whatever. So we planned this perfect cute date night for jazz. And at the last minute, the band switched. So it was no longer going to be a jazz band. It turned into an R&B cover band.
What a lucky break.
What you got against jazz, man?
Bert hates jazz.
Does he?
His ADHD does not allow him to enjoy it.
Got it.
There you go. I just did it.
No.
In this case, it was not a lucky break for me because I have beef with Casper and the 911 band. All right.
Casper and the 911 band. So this is who was doing the R&B covers?
Yes. This is the name of this group of men.
All right. Is Casper an all white band?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
It makes sense to me.
I get it.
So the night starts off and they come in to like this romantic music, right? And so the guys are coming from the left, the right. And this is the first song that they decided to start off with.
Tell me a secret.
Ooh.
Because tonight I want to learn all about the secrets.
Only Barry White can pull that off.
Okay, all right.
So as they come out...
You didn't think I knew.
I did it.
Okay.
That was going to be my first question. I'm impressed.
I didn't think you knew either.
Do I need to remind you I got an NAACP card?
Okay. Here we go. Right. So now you're pushing it.
So as the guy to the left comes out, my girlfriend and I, we're sitting in the front row, and we're sitting at a table that's just the two of us, right? And so the guy who comes to... He's coming out from the left. He starts off with this little Barry White thing, and he has a single rose in his hand. And he walks over to our table. He looks my girlfriend in her eyes and stuff and gives her the rose. And I'm like, okay.
Time out. Time out. How dare you go to a table of two women and only give one of the women a rose?
Oh, I wasn't even thinking about that. Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Sorry. I would have been so pissed. Yeah. I would have been like, I wouldn't.
Yeah. Okay.
That is a solid point. But at the time, I'm not thinking anything of it because all the guys had roses and they were giving them off at different tables and stuff. And I'm like, that's a part of the performance.
And I get that that's not the thing that you like. So.
Yes, exactly. So I'm like, that's just a part of the performance. So they go on and then they start singing some music by this artist named Kim. And they're singing a song called Love Calls Your Name. And one of the lead singers who's on the stage, he looks my girlfriend dead in the eye and he blows her a kiss. And I'm looking at her like, you bet not catch it.
How about, did she dodge it? You got to move to the left.
Nope. I should have pushed
Not
her.
Today.
So then I'm like, okay, I see y'all are just, you know, sweet on my woman. Now, this is a big venue. There are like a lot of people in here, okay? Over 100. Blow a kiss somewhere else. But halfway through the show, the guys are like, all right, where are the single ladies at, right? There's a table that's behind us of single women like, well, we're single. So the guys, they huddle up over on our side. They're like, all right, fellas, this next song is dedicated to the single ladies. And they come off the stage and it's three of the band members. And I'm thinking they're going to go to the table behind us where the women said they were single, right? No. They come to our table.
What?
Start singing this song called Freak Me by Silk.
Oh. Freak me, baby. Okay. Oh, yeah. Wanna lick you up and down.
Oh, I know that one. Hey,
say stop.
Okay.
Once again, to my girlfriend. Y'all asked for the single lady. She didn't cheer. I didn't even cheer.
How you know she ain't wink at them when you wasn't looking?
She better not have.
Do
you know, but
all the things you want me to do.
Right. And then
are you doing?
That's the Kristen cover.
The hip thrusts are really selling it for me.
I love that song. It's amazing. I love that they're singing it to your girlfriend.
What fabric was that? Was that silk? Oh,
no. I'm called polyester, baby. I'm a polyester blend.
I'll take it.
So I'm like, okay, this has to stop. Go sing to another woman, please, for the love of God. But it didn't end there.
It doesn't end there.
They started singing Michael Jackson, Liberian Girl, and they came out with more roses, y'all. They appeared with more roses. And yes, they did come to our table. And no, I did not get another rose. They gave it to my girlfriend. So now she has collected two roses. Four songs have been sung to her, and she has been blown a kiss.
It's
a bad night for you. It's a great night for her, Ego. It's the Bird Show.
Hey, the Bird Show.